This meeting is now being recorded.
This is Lori Earle, Chair of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee. I'm going to open the meeting for June 2nd, 2015. I'm going to call the meeting to order, remind everyone that because we are on a phone and folks don't know who everyone is, if you do have comments, to please identify yourself before you make the comment. And if you do not have a comment, if you could keep your phone muted so we don't hear any background noise, but please do not put us on hold because then we hear your hold music. And with that, I would ask Zlatko if you would please take roll.
Certainly. We have Judge Earle present. Judge Boris. And this will be in the order of members, not necessarily judicial officers and then staff. So Alan Carlson.
I'm here. Thanks.
Sherry Carter. Jake Chatters.
Here.
Judge Cope.
I'm here.
Judge Conklin. Judge DeSantos.
Hi, this is Winifred Smith.
Do we have Judge, I believe we heard Judge DeSantos.
Judge DeSantos is here, present.
Yeah.
Judge Smith.
Just thank you, Judge. Rick Feldstein. Rebecca Fleming. Kimberly Flenner. Judge Gall.
Didn't think I'd make it, but I'm here.
Very good. Judge Good. Jose Guillen?
Here.
Judge Harmon, we've heard.
Present, yep.
And Judge Holland? Judge Johnson?
Yes.
Judge Kuhl?
Yes, here.
Sean Landry?
Here.
Judge Lee? Judge Maragonda? Stephen Nash? Debbie Norrie? Mike Roddy?
Here.
We have Judge Slough. We have Judge Smith. Mary Beth Todd?
Here.
Kim Turner?
Here.
Chris Volkers? David Yamasaki?
I'm here.
That count is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 members present.
Russell?
Yes, Russell? I hear Sherry.
Yep, thank you.
Okay, I'll go down the list of those that weren't present first run. Judge Boris. Judge Conklin. Rick Feldstein. Rebecca Fleming. Kimberly Flenner. Judge Good, Judge Holland, Judge Lee, Judge Maragonda, Stephen Nash, Debbie Norrie, and Chris Volkers. Anybody else just joined? Okay. Do we have Jody Patel on the line?
I'm on.
Kurt Soderlin?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, and I am Zlatko Theodorovich, and we have a quorum to begin the meeting.
Thank you. Is there anyone who joined after roll call that we didn't get your name down?
All right, thank you, everybody. We are, before we approve the minutes, I am going to turn to item two, which is just an informational item. It's a report back from the Workload Assessment Advisory Committee. Regarding our recommendation on an interim complex civil case weight, I believe they have a recommendation that they're prepared to take to the council, and I believe we have, is Judge Alksney on the line?
I am.
Great. Do you want to, the floor is all yours.
Okay, thank you. Listen, I was trying to, I'm in the middle of a jury trial, and I was trying to time it, and my timing didn't work, and so I am only going to say hello and then go back because we're trying to finish a witness today. And we all know that it's important to not keep our jurors waiting. So
right.
I am going to turn it over to Dina and Talia. They are on the call as well. And if you need me, they know how to get a hold of me, and I can jump back off my jury trial. They can call my department, and I can come back out if you need me. But I think they probably handle it better than I could. So I will turn it over to them. And thank you for taking us out of order, and I'm sorry that I can't stay on the call.
Well, thanks for bringing this back to us.
Okay.
So, Dina or Leah?
Hi, it's Dina. I will take the helm. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Dina Feroli from the Office of Court Research, previously worked for the Center for Families, Children, and the Courts for a while, but I've been supporting the advisory committee's work and leading some of the analysis. So I will say we came up with an interim case weight of 2271 minutes. And I'll talk a little bit about how we got there. I did walk you through a little bit at your last meeting. I did walk you through a little bit of the process that we went through to arrive at the numbers. So I won't talk about the process so much this time as sort of where we made some adjustments to our numbers and what some of our assumptions were. So we gathered about 25 to 30 folks who work in the 10 courts with the highest volume of complex civil cases to get a handle on, for one, the use of the fee data as a proxy for filings. And as I previously mentioned, that did seem to be a pretty solid representation. So we went ahead and used those with the fees on the plaintiff side, because that's the best proxy for an individual case, since there's only one plaintiff payment per case, regardless of the number of plaintiffs. So we explored areas in which workload differed from unlimited civil, because we're pulling the complex civil out of the unlimited civil. That's where it lived in the previous RAS model. And sort of polled the folks on the call about what kind of tasks they do more often in complex civil, or what kind of tasks are more time consuming in complex civil. And then what we did was
I'm very sorry to interrupt. This is John Conklin. I just joined the call late. I'm sorry to interrupt. Thank you.
So we, in the areas of workload that were identified by the group as being different somehow from unlimited civil, we took the components of the unlimited civil case weight and kind of broke them down and made adjustments to the tasks. So for the workload studies, we normally do a quality adjustment process of the case weights on the back end, because for example, courts may say, well, we have backlogs in some areas, or we're not really giving this the attention that we would like, so we want to add some more time to capture how we would actually do a good job of this. And the reason I bring this up is because the structure with which those Delphi sessions are kind of walked through gave us a good foundation for making the adjustments to the unlimited case weight for complex civil. So there are assumptions about how much time individual component tasks take, and also assumptions about how frequently those occur within the universe of cases. So we made adjustments either to the time per filing, or to the frequency with which the task occurred, or both, depending on the feedback that we got on that call. So, for example, the staff said it takes much longer to do the upfront data entry when we get a new filing because of the number of different parties' information that we have to enter. So then that falls into the case processing work required for a new filing under document processing, the way that we collect the data. So then we multiplied the number of minutes required to pr- process a new filing by the median number of plaintiffs, thinking, okay, if we normally have one plaintiff and now you have eight, it's going to take you eight times as long. There are some instances where the workload increases because of the number of parties, but it's not sort of a one-to-one increase. So because you have eight parties, it doesn't necessarily take you eight times as long. Maybe it takes you four times as long. So where the work was more directly related to the number of parties, we multiplied by the number of parties in the cases. If the group on the call gave us some indication of the magnitude of the difference, for example, they told us that the research attorney time was double relative to unlimited civil, so we doubled it. Some of the data that we pulled from to make the adjustments were the National Center for State Courts evaluation of the complex civil pilot programs, because it gave us an indication of how frequently certain things happened, certain events took place in cases. And then we also used some of the fee data to help us have a proxy for the number of defendants. So when we're looking at the total number of parties in the case, we're sort of increasing it by an appropriate amount. And so just to walk through a summary of where we made some of the adjustments, as I mentioned, the large number of parties has an impact on the upfront data entry, processing of filings, noticing, and service of orders. We increased time for calendar management because the need to coordinate all the different schedules of all the different parties, that's taking a little bit more time. We increased the research attorney time, as I mentioned, because they're not only sort of the law and motion issues, but the need for the case management that they often do. We doubled the time for exhibits management, records management, and scanning, which everyone said was a heavier workload relative to unlimited civil. There was more staff time in the courtroom and a jury services office due to the jury selection process being complicated. So the time required for courtroom support activities and for jury management were doubled. There were some cases where we made some reductions, for example, in self-help because of the heavy attorney presence and the judicial management on the cases. We saw less of a need for self-help there. The frequency of status conferences was increased from 45% to 98% of the cases based on findings from the National Center's evaluation. The frequency of the fee and payment-related work was increased because of the number of different parties that need to make payments on the cases. The frequency of mediation was reduced based on the frequency of ADR orders in the National Center's evaluation. So kind of working from, and what we did is we worked from the already adjusted unlimited civil, so with the quality adjustments already incorporated, and worked up from there. So we started with an unlimited civil case weight of about 800, and then making all of these adjustments to the various tasks where the group said there was a difference. It took us up to between 2,200 and 2,300 minutes. We had looked at the idea of reducing the unlimited civil case weight because it had previously contained some of the complex civil work. However, we were concerned that because complex civil is only 2% of even the unlimited civil filings, that maybe we didn't pick up enough of that workload during the last time study. So we made a decision actually not to reduce the unlimited civil case weight, but to keep it where it is, at least for this interim period, because reducing it could potentially disadvantage courts, particularly smaller courts, could take a hit in their staff need. And so we had no sort of empirical basis for how much to reduce the unlimited civil case weight by, so we decided to take this conservative step for now. And then although the case weights from the next staff workload study will not be completely adjusted and finalized. By this time next year, we will have some preliminary data available. So we are asking the council to also approve a recommendation to revisit this interim weighting when we have the preliminary data from our next study, which we anticipate being in the field at the end of this year. And I think that's basically it in a nutshell, and I'm open to questions if anything was unclear.
So, Dina, this is Judge Earl.
Sure.
Your committee is going to take this to the Judicial Council meeting in June, is that correct?
That's correct.
And those reports are not yet out, correct?
They're not yet out. I actually just finished the edits to it today. I think they'll be posted sometime in sort of mid-June, mid to late. The meeting's on the 25th and 26th, so obviously it has to be posted a week before then. And we'll have, for those who are interested in the materials, there will be more details on sort of the assumptions and the approach that we took.
And did you also run the numbers to show the impact that changing these case weights has on the 58 trial courts?
We did. And I believe it was somewhere between an increase of 40 to 50 positions in staff needs statewide. Of course, I think there were differences from court to court, obviously, depending on whether they had a higher concentration of the complex civil. And that seemed to align fairly well with what we think a lot of the staffing is in the courts.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions for Dina?
This is Alan. Are the what you just talked about in terms of the change to the on their WAPM statewide going to be at the June meeting materials?
Yes, we have, I believe we have an attachment that shows the RAS implications of the new case weight.
And this is Leah, also from Office of Court Research. We have forwarded those numbers to the finance group, and maybe one of Stephen or someone can, or Zlotko can speak to when, if they're going to be part of that June agenda as well.
Well, I don't think, this is not on, well, I'll let Zlotko answer that, but my thought is that we don't have an agenda item that addresses this.
No, so it impacts WAFM calculations, which would be part of the allocation recommendations that are discussed at the July 6th Budget Advisory Committee meeting. They'd be folded in as part of that overall estimate.
We can share it, though, ahead of that meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you, Dina and Leah.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Judge Earl, this is
yes.
Rebecca. Before you move on to something else, I just wanted to let you know that I am on the line. I came in a little bit late. Sorry about
also,
that.
Thank you. I also believe, is Rick Feldstein joined us?
I have. Thank you.
And Chris Volkers?
Yeah, I'm here.
Anybody else join us after we started?
Yeah, this is Judge Lee. I joined after. I have a doctor's appointment shortly before 4, so I'll be ringing
okay.
off, but I'm here. Okay.
Thank you.
And John Conklin, I joined after you started.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right. So for those of you who joined late, we took that second agenda item out of order to accommodate schedules. I'm now going to ask for approval of the minutes of the May 18th Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee meeting.
Is
there a motion?
Judge Lee, so moved.
Is there a second?
Second, Judge Smith.
Judge Smith seconds. Any discussion about the minutes? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? The minutes are approved. And then the only other item on our agenda today is the draft guidelines for the State Trial Court Improvement and Modernization Fund and Trial Court Trust Fund. It is an action item. I believe Judge Slough and Sherry Carter are going to present this. They are co-chairs of the Revenue and Expenditure Subcommittee. that subcommittee met to discuss the draft guidelines and have a recommendation that they are bringing to us today. So Judge Slough and or Sherry?
Judge Earl?
Yes.
This is Mark Cope. Before they get started, is it okay if I make a comment about the last item, the complex civil?
Oh, yeah.
I know it's not an action item, but the one item that I wouldn't say it causes me concern because I don't have any problem with the results, but when they said that they considered in deciding whether to change the weight of a civil case, they considered whether it would have an effect on the smaller courts. I would just hope everyone would keep in mind that that's really not an appropriate consideration for this part of the analysis. It seems to me that that might be appropriate to consider later on, but right now we're just talking about math, and I don't think the other considerations like the impact that changing the numbers would have, that ought to play any part in it. Just wanted to make that comment, and then we can move on.
Okay, thank you, Judge Cope, and I'll just a reminder: this is just a temporary case wait until they evaluate it further, and it sounds like that will be an ongoing process. All right, Judge Slough or Sherry?
Judge Slough, and I'm actually in my car headed to the airport to fly up for our meeting tomorrow. I'll just say briefly that, as you all know, Budget Advisory Committee was tasked as part of the results of the audit to come up with the guidelines and to work on definitions of state versus local funding, and we've had a phone call, staff put together a rough draft, and since I don't have it in front of me because that wouldn't be safe nor prudent, Sherry, do you mind charging ahead?
No, I don't mind, and actually I'm wondering if we should have Glocko walk through it like he did our subcommittee, and then we can ask any questions at the end. Does that make sense?
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you, Judge and Sherry. Yeah, so as Judge Slough indicated, the audit calls for guidelines, looking at the expenditures, audits, examining state and local assistance and where they should fall. The first step of this three-part process of developing the guidelines, splitting the expenses, and then doing a review of those expenses reflected here in terms of the guidelines being prepared and submitted for your consideration to take to the Judicial Council. The intention is to give a tool for staff to ensure that all expenditures are appropriate, consistent with council direction, consistent with the expectations of the programs, our accounting principles, and the way in which the funds are budgeted. I'll note this, though, is that these are guidelines for the current budget. We've said that we are going to change, look at this, the Revenue Expenditure Subcommittee will look at the current split of state operations and local assistance expenditures as they are in the state budget and come up with changes likely. Therefore, these guidelines will then reflect and be updated and amended. So you'll see this another time to reflect those changes of what are considered state operations and local assistance. So again, these are for now, as required by the audit. There'll be updates once we complete our split of the state ops and local assistance. And this will be the part of the tools used in the review of those expenditures to make sure that, again, they were appropriate and consistent with council policy, statute, and all the relevant other guidance. So hopefully you've all looked at the guidelines. I must say that there was a good discussion at the Revenue and Expenditure Subcommittee. There were a number of amendments and adjustments that were made to the package that's before you. Thankfully, it was recorded, and so staff could go back and listen to each comment to make sure that the items are updated. So hopefully the members of the subcommittee that have seen these don't have any issues per se as we go along, but it's possible given that there was a lot of discussion at the meeting last week. So
We talk about this annual budget process, the Budget Advisory Committee making recommendations to the council, and the council approving the allocations. The allocations then go to each of the judicial council programs and offices so that they can then spend those funds, consistent again with the allocations. Our intention is that as they make those expenditures or propose them through the Judicial Council Finance Accounting Services Unit, that those are then validated against these guidelines. And so we do have this sort of circular process, as you can see on page 11 of the materials or page 2 of 9 of the guidelines, to ensure that there's a feedback loop of the process. So if council allocates, the programs and offices get the allocations, and when they make the expenditures consist with the guidelines, our accounting unit is doing that properly, and then there's a compliance review after the fact to make sure that that's done, and that information feeds back to ensure that the council and stakeholders are aware that we're spending the money properly. Page 3 of 9 describes from statute and from Department of Finance fund manual descriptions of the two funds that are subject to the guidelines here, the Trial Court Trust Fund and the Improvement and Modernization Fund. Section 4 describes the allocation process and how the through Sections 4. They talk about what are considered allowable expenditures in Section 5. Obviously, we're bound by statute in some cases. For example, there are revenues that come into the Improvement and Modernization Fund related to jury royalties. We'd have to make sure that then expenditures are consistent with statute there. So it's we're also obviously guided by what we've written here and state law and council policy. Then we get into some technical charts and tables. Again, these reflect current structure. And what they do is they break out the current Budget Act structure of the Improvement Modernization Fund and the Trial Court Trust Fund and describes the kinds of items that are allowable, proposed to be allowable out of the IMF and the TCTF. Again, currently structured, you can see where they're spent in the first column, the type of expense, be it state operations or local assistance, again, based on the current structure in the budget for the IMF. There's a bit more detail as we get into the TCTF because there's a further breakdown there, as you can see. And again, this will be revised and adjusted based on the outcome of the proposed changes to local assistance and state operations. There then is a section that speaks to unallowable expenses and what are the implications for that. Then we talk about the responsibility of the council staff and the administration of the funds. There was a section previously that talked about exceptions. I'll alert folks to know that we proposed to take that section out. It was unclear. It was difficult to understand how it might be implemented, and so rather than provide for it, we've not included it. But again, I just want to let you know that for the folks who are not part of the subcommittee, that there was a section on exceptions to allowable and unallowable charges that's being proposed to not be included in this version. Again, it describes the Budget Advisory Committee's role in terms of review. On page 8 of 9, regarding the subcommittee's annual review, compliance review done by the Accountability and Efficiency Group, and it talks about some specific types of expenditures that are statutorily established or for non-direct trial court expenses, such as compensation for judges' salaries and things like that. Again, this is intent is to bring greater transparency and accountability to the management of the funds as allocated by the council, and that staff have a process by which they're trained. We do regular training to ensure that folks, because we do have turnover, are aware of the guidelines. Our hope is that there's 100% compliance, but But without these guidelines, you're never sure, and so we do appreciate the support of the Budget Advisory Committee and the comments of the subcommittee on making these a better product. So I think Sherry and Judge Earl and Judge Slough, maybe take it from there, unless you have some questions about what we just discussed.
Do anyone have any questions?
So this is Kim Turner. I just have a comment and something to note. So first of all, I was on the Revenue and Expenditure Subcommittee meeting that looked at this earlier draft, and I want to thank Zlatko and his folks for taking all the comments that we made to heart and to, I think, really improving this draft. So thank you for that. I wanted to point out on page one that there is a typo, because somebody has to look for those, right? So if you look in the background section on page one, the second paragraph down toward the end, it says, you mean to say the latter would require changes to budget act language, but it says the later would require changes.
All right.
And other than that, I have no further comments.
Hopefully staff know where that term is.
Yeah, it's on page one, you know, where it says item one at the top and the guidelines start. It's in the background section, second paragraph, third line from the bottom of the second paragraph.
Okay. All right.
Sherry, this is Judge Earl. I just had a couple questions.
Yes. Yes.
Do you want to go first?
Well, I have some suggested changes, but if you have a question, let's do yours first, unless you'd rather have me go first.
No, my question is that I notice on page 1 of 9, mm-hmm. under 2.0 summary,
yes,
that the language starting with the second sentence in developing annual allocation proposals,
right,
includes Judicial Council offices identifying not only IMF or TCTF monies, but general fund money.
Yeah.
But I notice reference to those general fund expenditures are not consistently applied in the other part of that paragraph. On page 2 of 9, that top paragraph says each JCC office. And if you go down to like line 30,
right,
it says an annual report regarding prior year expenditure and encumbrance of IMF and TCTF monies. Did you all talk about, I just wondered why there wouldn't be a prior year expenditure and encumbrance of general fund monies that were used to support trial courts, why that wasn't included in that paragraph, and I see it in, I think, one other location.
Yeah, you know, I actually think that was a miss, and I'm glad you raised that. I do think that for those monies, whether they're general fund, IMF, or trial court trust fund monies, they do need to be both identified for the proposed allocation that will go to the council for approval, as well as the true-up, I think as Judge Jensen called it, at the end of the year. And so I think that's a really good point, Judge Earl, and I would propose that we include on line 30 that it would include the encumbrance of general funds that were used to support the trial courts and IMF and trial court trust fund monies. And that way the council knows that we're only talking about those general fund monies that are used to support the trial courts, not general fund monies for the Supreme Court or Court of Appeal or Judicial Council budget, but just those general fund monies for those projects and services and programs that are to support the trial court. So I would recommend that we include that on line 30. I would make that a motion, actually.
Okay, and then
I said, this is Kim Turner. I would second that, and that was a good catch, Judge Earl and Sherry.
I think there's another area where that's not included as well. Under section 4.0.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I see it, line 77.
Yes.
So I would do the same thing there.
So where it says from the IMF and TCTF, I think it should say from the general fund, comma, IMF and TCTF.
And just to clarify, so the council knows we're only talking about general fund that supports the trial courts, I would add the same language that I proposed in 2.0, which is general funds that are used to support the trial courts and IMF and trial court trust funds. That way it's really clear that we're only talking about those general funds that are being used to support the trial courts and not any other general funds.
Yeah, I agree with that. This is Kim Turner.
And then on 6.3.
Just so you know, the council does not allocate general fund to the council. That's just done in the Budget Act.
Oh, okay. So we would. What you're saying is in the allocation.
Not allocated. It is not an action allocated by the council. It
okay.
is appropriated in the budget to the council. So just.
So I am curious, Lotko, then, if that's true, when you have a program that supports the trial courts that uses general fund, IMF, and trial court trust fund, for example, how is the amount decided from the general fund amount?
It's just part of our overall support for the entirety of the branch.
But this is Judge Harmon. I mean, I think we have to have that. We have to know.
I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't, Judge. I'm just pointing out that it's not currently allocated by the council. Just a procedural fact.
Okay, just finishing my thought. I think that throughout this document, we need to be consistent in that this committee to know what general funds are used to support the trial courts and TCTF funds.
So this is Kim Turner. Yes, I guess, like Sherry, perhaps, I'm still a little unclear. So, for example, Zlatko, and I'm just pulling an example of, some of the things that we've been looking at. Phoenix is covered by a little bit of TCTF, quite a bit of IMF, and some general fund money. So is the general fund money just sort of a plug to fully fund that program? It's like, you know how much you have in the TCTF and how much in the IMF, and so then whatever the shortfall is, you take it out of the general fund?
There's a general fund allocation for that particular program, but it's not broken down to the council level in any way, shape, or form like that. I mean, Phoenix has its own program, but there's my general fund is not allocated to the time I'm spending on this phone call to the trial courts or the time I spend on the it's just general fund expense for my position. So I don't go to the point of having a cost allocation plan for the 2 hours that I have here or the 3 hours I'll have tonight at home.
So perhaps we skip the suggestion on 4.0. Was there another area, Judge Earl, you were going to? You started to, and we could come back to 4.0 after. I would propose I would continue to have the motion for line 30 we talked about. Was there another area that you were going to?
One second. Yes, in under 6.3, responsibility of finance budget staff, and that is on page 8 of 9.
Regarding the true up, Judge.
Annual report.
Okay. So I think the same language would fit there because it's a similar type of language as was in the summary on line 30. So I would suggest I would make the motion that we use the same language, that it would be an annual report regarding prior year expenditure encumbrance of general fund that was used to support the trial court and IMF and trial court trust fund monies that includes by project or program.
Correct.
That would be consistent then with, so that's line 193, 194, and then line 30. So I would make that motion to include that to include that language on those two sections, and then we can talk about how, if at all, we need to include it on under section 4.0 on allocations.
I think we need it on 7.1 as well.
7.1.
It's on page just below that 6.3.
Oh, yes. That's actually okay. So I would propose the same language, that general fund, that regarding prior
general fund expenditures that support the trial court.
That were used to support the trial court. Mm-hmm. And IMF and trial court trust fund activity. Kim, would you support all of that bigger motion?
Yes, I do. Thank you for asking.
I have a couple other questions. I didn't know if you let me. I also note that throughout, I know that it looks like the assumption of as the draft is written, it assumes that the Advisory Committee on Financial Accountability and Efficiency would be the entity doing the compliance review. Given this body's stand on that rule of court, do we want to include that language, which essentially adopts the rule of court, or do we want to provide language that says just that the report would be made available to the entity charged with compliance review?
Judge Earle, this is Judge Kuhl. I think to be consistent with the position that we took on the proposed rule amendment with respect to the A&E committee, and I think our membership felt pretty strongly that the review should be in the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, having committed all the work to figuring out what the guidelines should be in the beginning, we should review it at the far end. So I would suggest and I would move that we change the language so that it is consistent with our prior recommendation, that is that the review be back to the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee rather than to A&E.
And this is Judge Harmon. I agree. That was the first thing I noticed in here was that is written in here as if it is going to A&E, and we have obviously strongly opposed that. So I think that language needs to be changed. Or
so as I understand it, Judge Kuhl, your motion is that any reference to the Advisory Committee on Fiscal Accountability and Efficiency would be changed to the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee?
Yes, that's correct.
And I don't know, I'd be curious, Sherry, if you all had a discussion about that.
I don't really think we discussed that much, if at all. I think, Judge Flower, are you still on the line?
Yeah, I am. And we didn't discuss how that language should be addressed. There was just question raised about the fact that rule hasn't been voted on, and what I don't think we even really went into the impact of the rule being passed or not passed. So
that's my recollection.
Yeah, mine also. This is Kim Turner, and I guess rather than either drafting this proposal with the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee or A&E named in this particular proposal, I kind of preferred Judge Earle's language, which just says the entity, you know, which is charged with, you know, reviewing the compliance or something of that nature, so that we don't have to go back and then amend this rule or amend this proposal depending on the outcome of the new rule proposal.
Judge Earle, this is David Yamasaki. If I can just ask a question. One of the issues that was raised, I think maybe something that I raised is something that Sherry is alluding to in terms of the reference to the Committee on Financial Accountability and Efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And The reason why I had brought it up was the concern that the rule would have directed this particular document to be referred to them, and the modification that was and that was one of the things that I was concerned about. We had not received the request for that to take place, and the modification that Judge Kuhl is suggesting, I think it more aligns with perhaps the tenor of the discussions that we had during our subcommittee meeting. So I wanted to just speak up because I think that was one of the issues that is being discussed right now, and I wanted to just clarify my issues and discussion topics during our call, which I think are addressed with the suggestion by Judge Kuhl.
This is Liz Johnson. I agree with David and with Judge Kuhl. I think some of the talk that we had during the Revenue and Expenditure Committee concerned making available the Budget Committee's annual review to the Advisory Committee to fulfill its charge, which it already has, of following up on the audit. I don't think that we intended to have them be the body that would be doing the compliance review in connection with these guidelines, however.
So can I ask a question then in that tenor on page 9 of 9, so the last page of the draft guidelines? You know, it starts off by saying that there a comprehensive compliance review shall be performed every odd year by the A&E committee. And in the very last sentence said the findings of the review shall be reported to the council and provided to the trial court budget advisory committee. It seems to me with Judge Kuhl's motion that the bottom line would need to be changed as well, the last line of the document.
Right. Wouldn't we want to just put a period after judicial counsel?
I didn't know if you were suggesting, Judge Johnson, that the review, that our review would be sent to Annie?
No, I'm just saying
okay.
That they have another job to do already, and since we're doing this, I thought I recalled that we would just make available our work to them.
Okay.
I don't know if I misremembered that or not, but I think we did cover that a little bit.
So we have a motion from Judge Kuhl. Is there a second to the motion?
Just to clarify, if we did that, there's one other area. I was flipping through it on page 2, line 32, where it says this report will be made available for use in their compliance reviews of these two funds. Now, if we add, of course, the general fund, that would be three funds, and we'd have to make the same language change on line 209 if we have the general fund as well there, general fund that supports the trial court. And then if Judge Kuhl's motion, and I would, if it's to have the trial court budget advisory committee do the review in lieu of the A&E committee, you probably don't need the, you know, rather than just substitute, you probably wouldn't need, a lot of this language would change on line 32. It would be every year we'd be doing the review and you wouldn't be giving them a copy. So you couldn't just substitute. You'd have to change the language.
I'm sorry, but, Sherry, what page are you on?
So if you look at page 2, line 32.
Is that page?
Page 2 of 9.
2 of 9,
sorry,
thank you.
Page 11. 11 of the total.
Thank you.
Line 32, my apologies. It says this report will be made available. It would be of these three funds if we continue to give the report to the A&E, but if the trial court budget advisory committee does it, then I would, that whole two, the two sentences would probably change.
So I think what we could do is looking at line 32, strike the sentence that starts on line 32 with this report will be made available. And then the sentence that starts on line 34, the last sentence, it should say the trial court budget advisory committee will perform compliance reviews, and I think we would intend it to be every year. So that would be my motion.
I'll second that. That's Liz Johnson.
Are you seconding all of Judge Kuhl's motions?
I'm seconding the motions that she made pertaining to the role of the advisory committee. I think somebody else
Judge
already.
Judge Harmon might have done that.
She seconded. I think Judge Harmon seconded.
Yes, I was.
Sherry's wording.
Judge Kuhl's motion.
Okay. Then
okay, and we need to take a quick look or a careful look. I think that language is in 6.3 as well. So wherever it appears, you would have Corporate Budget Advisory Committee reviewing instead of A&E.
Zlatko, are you still on the line?
Of course.
Do we?
Where else would I go?
Do we have an opportunity? Time to make the amendments that were recommended on the call and then send them around for an email vote after our meeting today, either sometime later in the week?
I don't know. What are the EMP dates? Do Lucy and Stephen know?
I mean, I would think that we could turn these around tomorrow.
I don't know what the notice requirements are on an email meeting, but
this is Judge Kuhl. Email meetings, I think, become very cumbersome because all of the email traffic has to be recorded and preserved in the record. And if we can get clear enough on this, I'd just as soon do it today. Having looked at the open meeting rule requirements on email, it's cumbersome.
Okay. Then maybe what we should do is, even before we vote, if we could walk through the document to make sure we've captured where the suggested amendments are.
Do you want to take my motion first, or do you want to do them all at the same time?
I think we can take your motion first. Mm-hmm. But can you remind us of your motion?
Yes, on line 30. Well, you know what? Maybe we should walk through the document because I did find, flipping through to help with the last item, I did read a couple of places that would need to go through it, too. So maybe we should go through it together.
All right.
Let me start with mine first on line 30.
On page 2 of 9?
On page
11 of the materials.
11 of the materials. It would say... An annual report regarding prior year expenditure and encumbrance of general fund that was used to support the trial courts and IMF and trial court trust fund monies that includes by project, and then it would go on. Then I think Judge Kuhl's motion would start on line 32, right?
So on line 32, do you want to do both of these at once, or you just want to
sure.
go through?
I think I'll go through the most.
Okay.
Through the
All
document.
Right. So on page 11, line 32, strike the sentence that starts, "This report will be made available." The next sentence, starting on page 34, strike the Advisory Committee on Financial Accountability and Efficiency for the Judicial Branch.
But I think we were suggesting that we do it every year instead of every odd year.
Right. Well, strike that and insert the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, and then strike the word odd year.
So it would read, the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee will perform compliance reviews every year to ensure all expenditures were consistent with the Judicial Council guidelines.
Correct.
Okay.
No, I'm just trying to start really quickly. Let's see. Then if you go to line 193 on page 8 of 9.
I think there's one.
Hold on. 3 of 9.
Oh, that's right. 3 of 9?
7.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 3 of 9. Oh, I skipped the allocation because I thought we might want to come back to that after that. I think might be overly complicated, or do you want to take it in order? Because if they don't have allocations for the general funds, you're probably going to have to, and if we're going to recommend allocations from the IMF and the Child Court Trust Fund, as well as proposed spending from the general fund to support the trial courts, you're going to, it's not really an allocation if what Zlatko is explaining, right? It's a proposed expenditure from their allotment. So that's a little more complicated.
Why don't we come back to it?
Okay. So if you go to page 8 of 9 on line 193, prior year expenditure and encumbrance of general funds that were used to support the trial courts and IMF and trial court trust fund monies, and then line 196, Judge Kuhl, that would probably be
That would be on 196. Budget staff will make this report available to the trial court budget advisory committee instead of A&E committee.
Well, in fact, you may not even need it because it already says it'll prepare and submit to the trial court budget revenue and expenditure. Oh, I see. So you would then want the R&E committee to give it to the trial court budget advisory committee?
Yeah, budget staff should give it to the trial court budget advisory committee for use in that committee's compliance report.
Okay.
So could you read that again?
Sure. Page 8 of 9, 6.3, line 196. Budget staff will make this report available to the, strike the words, Advisory Committee on Financial Accountability and Efficiency, and instead insert Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee. And then
on line 204, great catch, Determine. It would say prior year general fund that was used to support the trial court and IMF and trial court trust fund activity. And then on 9 of 9, line 209,
okay,
before
you get to that, 9 and 9 on line 207, a comprehensive compliance review shall be performed every year by the, strike the word, Advisory Committee on Financial Accountability and Efficiency, and insert Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee.
And then I'll pick up, this review shall validate whether expenditures from the general fund that was used to support the trial court and IMF and trial court trust fund for the prior fiscal year was consistent. Right, because it's annual? Right, okay.
And then, as Judge Johnson suggested, on line 221, put a period after judicial counsel and strike the rest of it so that it will just say the findings of this review shall be reported to the judicial counsel.
Sherry, let me ask a question on page 17 of the materials under 6.3. Did you already, at line 194, you included general fund monies used to, okay.
Used to support the trial court and IMF and trial court trust fund monies. I would put it first, so that we can include the clause that was used to support the trial courts to make it really clear. It's just those general fund monies, period.
So, Judge Earl, this is Jake Chatter.
Yes.
So I have a more fundamental question that we'll get to after this discussion. But before that, I guess the language, Sherry, as you just mentioned it, on this line seems a little broad, and maybe I'm just hearing it wrong, because it Sounds like we're saying any general fund money is spent on trial court support, but are we only meaning on projects that were approved as part of the IMF and TCTF? I mean, if we define what that means. So that almost starts to sound, are we looking for everything?
No, so if you go back to page 1 of 9, Jake, and look at line 14, in developing annual allocation proposals, Judicial Council offices managing a project or program shall identify the general fund, IMF, or trial court trust fund monies that will be used for each project or program. Related back to that. So I don't know how best, I don't know what that clause should always say to refer back. That way the council knows we're not talking about their, you know, the only the money that funds the programs or projects that support the trial courts. That's all we're talking about.
Right, but that's what I'm trying to get to. Is that what this is trying to say, or is this trying to say that those programs and projects that are funded by the IMF and the TCTF need to be subject to this section, and in the event that any of those programs also use general funds, those general funds monies have to be reported? Or are we saying there could be a program that the Judicial Council has approved that Judicial Council staff provides that is funded only by the general fund? Does that have to be reported here? And is that subject to these guidelines?
Can I come up with an example? So Colin, for instance, sorry to put on spot Colin. Colin supports the trial courts insofar as he manages the trial court trust fund, but he is not associated with any of the IMF and TCF programs as such. So we will be assuming that we would not be including Colin in this review, or Zlatko in this review, in the support he does for the trial court.
I think that's right. I think the distinction Jake made, that if it's not
tied to one of these projects.
Yes.
Right. That's
right.
Exactly. Jake had it right.
Okay, good.
So,
number
Jake,
one, Jake.
Do you think, Jake, that we need to do something to change some language to make that clearer?
Well, I think it's just in the summary. It could probably be defined there, and then it's just assumed that it applies elsewhere, because if it's repeated every time, that's awful long. But if it's saying something that in developing the annual proposals to be considered, they'll identify allocation of proposals from the IMF or TCTF to be considered by the TCPAC. Maybe if it moves prior to the you're taking me out of my realm here on how to organize the words, right? But it just feels like if it's defined that way, that we're only talking about those programs, and if there's a general fund component we want to know, because we want to know the whole cost of the program, but we're not getting into those things that are just general fund.
Yeah, so would this work, Judicial Council offices managing a project or program funded by the IMF and or trial court trust fund shall identify the general fund, IMF, and or trial court trust fund monies that will be used for each project or program. So the qualifying is that are funded by the IMF and or trial court trust fund shall identify, and now it incorporates all three. Isn't that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
I think that's good language.
So managing a project or program funded by the TCTF and or IMF. Right? Is that what you said?
The project or program funded by IMF and or trial court trust fund shall identify general fund, IMF, and trial court trust fund monies that will be used for each of these programs or projects.
So I have to throw a little bit of a spanner in the works. So I don't want to get too detailed, but for instance, you've got Vicky Musney here. She does the interpreter allocations for the trial courts. She does support that program that's out of the trial court trust fund, but I wouldn't envisage we would include her time.
But that's specifically excluded. Those appropriations are not discretionary.
Well, because of the fact that we include interpreter program. I don't want us to miss anything.
This is Judge Harmon. That's one of the things I was wondering. We're trying to clarify it, but it seems to me the general funds that would support the trial courts any funds that are used to trial courts that are not discretionary are already set out. So I'm not clear on why we have to delineate it even more. I mean, maybe I don't understand, but when you talk about this person supports the court interpreters, that's a specific non-discretionary fund. You know, the Equal Access, the Family Law Information Center, we have that list on page 9 of 9. So isn't any general fund in support of a trial court that is in a discretionary program, isn't that trial court trust fund or IMF related?
I think so, but I don't know
why to distinguish it further than saying any general fund in support of trial court operations.
I guess the issue is, and I mentioned this at the last meeting, is that there isn't something that defines where are those boundaries, right? That the IMF and the TCTF can be used by the Judicial Council at a quote state level. I'm using these words not, you know, as terms of art, but just generally speaking, they can use those in support of trial court operations. But that doesn't mean they don't have programs that perhaps somebody might say, well, that's in support of the court, and that's coming out of the general fund expenditures of the Judicial Council as part of their staff. I mean, I don't want to throw out an example because I don't have them specifically, but because there isn't a definition that program A that's within the Judicial Council, which is required by statute for them to monitor the expenditures of the trial courts, could someone say that that is support of the trial courts? And so if we're not being clear about that, then all those reports suddenly are coming to the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee about programs that aren't funded by the TCTF and the IMF, right? It's funded by that allocation that Lotko is saying is coming from the state to the Judicial Council for the Judicial Council function.
But can anyone think of any of those that would not be in support of one of the programs through IMF or TCTF, other than the ones that are specifically not discretionary on page 9 of 9? Because I can't think of what that would be.
So, Judge Earle, this is Mark Dustman. I can give an example.
Okay.
So my staff that works on web properties supports some trial court templates, for instance, that the trial courts use to create their own website. But they also provide support to the Serranus, and which you know is a branch-wide effort. But they do work that's specific to trial court web services. It's general fund. It's not part of any IMF program or trial court trust fund program. It would be very difficult for me to figure out, without an accounting system that does hours, how much time they spend on trial court direct support versus appellate or judicial counsel support.
And there's also, Vicky does, elder abuse, for instance, prisoner hearings, all things she tracks for that are part of the trial court trust are not specifically excluded in the guidelines. But.
So I'm going to just say, I would say let's just go back to the original language. I mean, I'm not really
I agree. Go back to the general funds in support of trial court.
Yeah, this is just cool. I agree. I was happy with the original language.
Any other thoughts on that? All right, any thoughts on the draft guidelines itself, including the amendments made by Judge Kuhl or myself or Sherry?
So, Judge, this is Jake again. I have one more that's overarching.
Okay.
And that's that, based on my read, and you're reading it wrong, there is nowhere in here that indicates these guidelines only apply to the Judicial Council staff and their expenditures, and are not applicable to the trial court's expenditures of trial court trust funds. And because of that, as it's currently written, if I'm correct, our use of the trial court trust fund would be severely restricted and probably cause us to cease operations.
Well,
picky, picky.
So would that be solved, Jake, by the very first line where it says on page 1 of 9, purpose, that it says this document provides guidelines for appropriate judicial counsel expenditure of the allocations?
I think judicial counsel staff, you mean, right?
Right.
But we give out money for self-help, so it might be just as opposed to saying what it's for, what it's not for, not related to trial court operational expenses or something? Because self-help goes out to the trial courts, not a JC expense, it's an allocation.
What was that one? I missed that. I'm sorry.
Self-help is not spent by the judicial counsel. It's allocated by the counsel to trial courts for their expense.
Right. And is it self-help specifically?
So that, do we examine this?
Nine?
Say that again, Judge Harmon.
Isn't the model self-help program is excluded on page 9 as a non-discretionary fund?
Right. I thought that Judge Earle's suggestion was appropriate.
That's a different program. The IMF has its own self-help. Self-help comes from more than one funding source in the budget. Base allocations, IMF, and otherwise TCTF.
So maybe we could footnote that.
But Lucko, how is that relating to if these are intended to apply to judicial counsel? That term is so difficult. So, anyway, the organization that supports the judicial counsel.
Well, this document provides guidelines for appropriate judicial counsel staff expenditures of the allocations provided by the judicial counsel.
Right.
I think that's,
if you want, you could footnote that self-help is a little different.
Jake?
Well, no.
Let's let Jake finish his thought.
Right. I think I'm going where Sherry's going. I don't think that's different because that's still them just giving the allocation to us or a reimbursement to us on what we spent for self-help, right? Or is there something different, Blocko? Because my concern is in here saying the trial court trust fund can't be spent on – it can only be spent on blank, blank, and blank. Well, we spend – we don't have, counsel included in there or transcripts or – all the things we do on a daily basis. That's my concern is that there's all these exclusions that – or what's listed as being – able to be spent is not what we actually have to do to operate the court. So I think Sherry's right. I think that comment should be fine, right? Or is there something specific to self-help block code that you're
making? No, I was an example. There's lots of other local assistance where monies are provided out to courts. We know what it means. I don't know if it gets complicated trying to define
it. So this is Kim. Is there a way that we can have a second sentence that says something like these guidelines are and not intended to in any way restrict or impede or constrain or whatever words we want to use expenditures by trial courts on their local operations or on their operations, something of that nature?
I think that makes sense, Kim.
The only concern I have is that I think we are all clear that these draft guidelines were not intended for trial courts. They were intended for judicial counsel staff expenditures. And I think Jake's right that's not made clear. And like Zach,
which is why I suggest that maybe a sentence that says that in plain declarative language, so we have that first sentence, which I think is creating some confusion, but maybe if we add a second sentence that just says, so we start off with saying this document provides guidelines for blah, blah, blah. Then the second sentence would say these guidelines specifically are not intended to provide guidelines that would in any way restrict or guidelines to the trial court, pertaining to their local discretion to expend, funds on trial court operations or something of that nature.
Can't we just take the title where it says State Trial Court Improvement and Modernization Fund and Trial Court Trust Fund Expenditure Guidelines for Judicial Council Staff, or of Judicial Council Staff. Actually, I think it's four.
Mm-hmm. Are you talking about the header?
The heading.
And then you,
oh, okay.
You use the same language down in the purpose, that it's to provide guidelines for the appropriate expenditures of Judicial Council staff of the allocations approved by the Judicial Council. I mean, wasn't that what Lori had suggested?
Yeah, that's right.
But I think, Zlatko, do you see an issue with that?
We know what it means, so. It'd be your review asking Jake to tell you how he spent his trial court money, based on the way that this is written, right?
What?
No, it pertains to the staff expenditures.
No, but what you're saying is if we didn't understand what it means, then the review of expenditures would also be of Jake's self.
Oh, yeah, the whole world's expenditures, right.
And that's not what you'll be doing, so you won't be applying these guidelines, whoever does this, to those expenditures.
Right.
So this is Mary Beth. The only concern I have with that is if we're concerned that only we need to understand it, at some point we could be audited against our own guidelines. So we do make sure it's clear to the layperson. And Zlatko, I was just wondering, is your concern with the proposed language that are you considering when you distribute self-help money that would be considered an expenditure by Judicial Council staff?
It wasn't it's not my concern expressed, it's Jake's concern about the definition, I believe.
Well, you were using self-help as an example of how it might not work.
Someone said, these are only expenditures that go to the Judicial Council, but they're not only that. I was just giving an example of what it was.
That are expended by the Judicial Council.
So let me get back to Judge Harmon's suggestion that we include that language not only in the heading, so it would read expenditure guidelines for Judicial Council staff, but in the first sentence, this document provides guidelines for appropriate expenditure by Judicial Council staff of the allegations approved by the Judicial Council. Let me ask that, because I think Kim said that sounds somewhat awkward. Does that solve the problem, or do we need to add another line on top of that, as Kim suggested?
Well, I think this is Kim. So if we clarify in the heading, the language that you use to clarify in the heading, I think is helpful. And then the revised language where we say appropriate expenditure by Judicial Council staff of the allocations approved by the Judicial Council, I think that might be enough. I mean, it's a little bit awkward, but I don't know that we actually gain anything by adding another sentence that says, you know, that we are not intending to do any kind of to impose any kind of restrictions on the trial court. That I don't know that we get anything for that.
Jake.
I don't know. I kind of like that idea, Kim. This is Jake again. I mean, having a statement that just says this, like if you're going to have a scope of a policy, right, you say this, if you have a limitation on the scope, the limitation would be that this policy does not modify, supersede, or add additional requirements on the trial court's expenditure of their allocation, right? So that information is covered by Rule 10.810. So,
So, okay, I would be happy adding a simple sentence following what we've already added to the header and to the first sentence, a sentence that says something like, nothing in this guideline is intended to restrict, supersede, what else did you say, Jake?
I don't know.
Modify.
Add to.
Modifies, restrict, or supersede. The expenditure authority of the trial court
of each trial court of their of its allocation.
That sounds fine.
You know, I think it complicates it. This is Sherry. I just would go back to something as simple as putting it in the heading. Only because, but, you know, that's just my thought. I thought the heading and that the guideline, the document provides guidelines maybe to judicial counsel staff regarding the appropriate expenditure of the allocations approved by the judicial counsel. Anyway.
So I think there is some wisdom in an attempt to provide clarity. Do we muddy the waters? I'm not sure that we do. What Kim is suggesting is that the heading say after expenditure guidelines it be for judicial counsel staff, that the first line be this document provides guidelines for appropriate expenditure by judicial counsel staff of the allocations, and then that line continues. And then insert another line that says these guidelines are not intended to restrict, supersede, or modify expenditure authority of each trial court over its allocation or of its allocation?
Of its allocation.
This is Carolyn Cool. I agree with the first two, but I think adding that sentence just highlights an issue that's just not there. It raises, to me, it could raise a question. Okay, so who is auditing the trial courts? And that's not the issue here.
Right, and isn't that already covered by rule of court? And we don't want to go there.
We get audited separately.
Yeah, but against that rule.
Right, we have our own rule for that.
Right.
What if this is Judge Harmon? What if we change where we put the word judicial counsel staff, where it reads this document provides guidelines to judicial counsel for appropriate expenditure of the allocations approved by the judicial counsel. I mean, isn't that pretty clear? This only applies to judicial counsel staff at that point.
Jake?
I've said my piece.
Kim?
You know, I'm not usually so indecisive, but I feel indecisive about all this now. Like Jake, I kind of like clarifying what the document is and what the document is not, but I actually think moving that phrase, you know, further up in that sentence, this document provides guidelines to judicial counsel staff for appropriate expenditure, that may be enough because it's very direct then.
I think we better vote pretty quick.
Judge Earl, this is Alan.
Yes.
I got to say, as I listened to Jake's comments and then listened to what the staff gave as examples about where do you put the line, I'm not sure we succeeded in this draft in really addressing the boundaries. And also, where's the boundary about trial court expenditures, which you're just talking about? Man, I hate to say we aren't done yet, but I don't think we're done yet. I think we should lay out all the different kinds of examples that were given about the web thing and the self-help and other things where there really is a lot of confusion or a lot of ambiguity about where the boundary is about who gets to decide how much gets spent on web service, web templates versus what gets spent on Ceramis.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask, this is Latko, since these are just interim guidelines until the next, and this is all going to shuffle once the state ops and local assistance change, could we ask that level of detail be deferred until the next process, please?
Well, that means that they would not, you mean for the next year, so
yeah,
that
the
they...
the next update when we, because you saw those two tables that were on the pages, that the split of what state office and local assistance is going to change. And so it might be that something that's called currently local assistance may turn to be state ops,
and the guidelines would relook at those splits, so the splits could change.
But I'm not sure if that addresses the issue that Jake and Alan has raised, that if we use this in the interim for
about
a year. What?
Sorry, Judge, I was saying Alan's suggestion of going down line by line, that level of detail for this process.
Well, I think Alan also raised the issue that Jake raises, which is how do we draw the boundaries for the trial courts? Am I right, Alan?
Yeah, I think that would be part of it. I think if we define more clearly what it is we're talking about in terms of money allocated to judicial counsel or money that's spent by judicial counsel staff, then it would be more clear that it doesn't apply to the trial court stuff.
Let me ask Kim, because you were part of the discussion on drafting the guidelines. Do you think that perhaps, as Alan suggests, more time needs to be spent on those issues that he and Jake raised?
Well, I mean, I guess we did not appreciate the first look that we had at this, that there was kind of a murky boundary. And, now that I have heard, what Mark had to say and what Blotko had to say, I guess I am more concerned about that than I was when we took our initial look at this.
Judge Earle, this is Sherry, and I believe that the Martin is would like to have this completed for next year, recognizing that we will be developing it in more detail for the year after and going forward.
Correct.
I think Alan Carlson's got a really excellent point that we should probably take the time necessary to really try to craft a document that would be a good document for the branch for the future. But if we're trying to meet a deadline that I think judicial counsel staff is trying to meet in order to have this in place for next fiscal year, I'm not sure we'll have time to do that. And we don't have anything in place for next fiscal year. So, Alan, would you be open to the idea of taking the changes that we've done so far, recognizing it's for 1 year only, and then taking the time to craft the document you have in mind? Because I think it's a good idea to do that. I just don't – we would not have anything in place for next year.
Yeah, this is Alan. I understand about we got to do something now. Maybe we say, okay, let's go with this for now. But, again, I can't support all the stuff about throwing out the A&E stuff. I just don't agree with that. Like I didn't in the last vote. That doesn't mean other people are in my position, but that's where I would be.
But, Alan, if we put that aside, if we focus on the issue you raised in terms of the boundaries and delineating the specifics, if that were not yet included in this draft, would that could you live with that for 1 year while we continue to work on that, or do you think that's something that we should identify before we even go forward with the first-year draft?
I could go forward with this because, frankly, I think what it's going to do is when people try and figure out what it means, it's going to raise more issues so that when we go revisit it, we'll actually have a better set of data to look at about redrafting it.
And
I know that's a little backwards in a sense, but I think it would work.
And Jake, I'm going to ask you the same question. Do you think that these issues need to be addressed before we make a recommendation for the next year?
I mean, I think the clarity around how deep into different programs it goes can wait. I mean, if this group is going to look at that, I am concerned at how people who are auditors come back and read information later. I'm not concerned about people thinking this means that the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee would audit individual courts. I think we all know that's not true. We have other ways that we're audited. It's just that when you start to set new rules and it's not clear who those apply to, someone will come back and say, you weren't supposed to spend money on that because of this policy. And that's not correct, and we all understand that, and I really feel if that isn't clear, it just sets us up for problems. So,
this is Kim. Can I ask?
Go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to ask a question because I'll tell you my head's swimming at this point, and I'm just totally confused. So I'm going to try to take it back and ask the question, what is driving us needing to do this quickly? And if it's is it the audit? And ask just that, is it the audit? And which aspect of the audit are we trying to address? Because I'm seeing some pieces it's not addressing, and perhaps that's what's intended to be worked on for year two, and that's the piece as far as when should expenditures be properly taken out of the state operations fund versus the local. And I'm not sure it really clarifies that. It clarifies how we're going to go back and look at what we said, but it doesn't really clarify that piece. Was it not intended to clarify that piece?
So I can answer, I think, your first question, but I can't answer the second. And the first question, I think, is there a deadline we're trying to meet? And I think Martin has to provide a six-month response to the auditors and would like to be able to include in his response that we have at least guidelines for year one that will be temporary as we continue to work on them. And I did have a conversation with him about how I thought it would be challenging to have the budget committee come up with something by June, but that we would try. So I don't know if that answers the first part of your question. I don't know if Jody or Zlatko want to add anything to that.
It's just my Martin would like, absolutely want to be something in our six-month letter, because we have current process. We have other processes we have to do in terms of the state ops and local assistance that are works in progress, but we need to have something in place for now since we're lacking these now.
Okay, so I'm looking at the audit, and one of the issues is they observe that some expenditures appear to be more closely aligned with what would typically be supported by state operations appropriation. And I would just ask, as we all consider whether or not we approve this document, is that one of the things we think this document accomplishes? Or I would like to know, is there a reason we weren't trying to accomplish this with this document? I'm not so sure it does.
Mary Beth, this is Sherry. Judge Slough and I probably had, I don't know, Zlatko, correct me, three or more versions where we did try to help with that under the allowable expenditures, starting on page 5 of 9, where it talks about allowable expenditures, and then there's tables. There were things in those tables that changed so that there would be more clarification as to what would be considered local assistance versus state operations, especially when you consider the definitions. Oh, they're not attached. The definitions that are used on the Department of Finance's website in defining these funds. So there was some back and forth to clarify the accounts and what they're used for. It may not be at the level that Ellen has suggested, and I think that's a good idea if we want to do that in more detail. But if we are trying to help with their six-month report and to have something in place for next year, I can tell you we did have quite a few discussions about those things that are in that table and where they belong.
Okay, thank you.
I mean, if you look at page 7 of 9, the table says distributions to trial courts. That's an allowable expense. Distribution to trial courts, that is what you do. So, I mean, there is the delineation there.
So I guess I'm just not clear what the sense of the group is in terms of whether or not this draft with the revisions that we're suggesting is ready, or if folks think that more work needs to be done on the areas identified by Alan and Jake.
This is Carolyn Cole. I think it's ready, and I think it's important that we give the council something on this and that we give Martin something so that he can go forward if he feels he needs to include in his response to the audit committee, as Zlatko suggests, the fact that we've made progress on having guidelines, at least for the coming year, for review of these funds, then this is what he needs. So, I think we can take the motions, and maybe they're up, maybe they're down, and then take the whole rule.
I would like to go with Judge Harmon's suggestion about in the heading, and this document provides guidelines to judicial counsel staff for the appropriate expenditure of the allocations approved, blah, blah, blah. And then it's clear that it's just for 1 year only, and then that we'll work on them for the year after that and beyond.
So if we can...
This is Judge Tom DeSantis. You know, I've sat back and listened for the past hour and piece, and I think the proposals that we, you know, take out the A&E, because this is the budget group's province, and also just be specific, this is only for this year. In the heading, it says this is what we're going to be doing, and that's it. It's pretty, to me, it's pretty simple if you have it in the heading that that's what this guidelines are intended for. And we move on.
This is John Conklin in Fresno. I agree. I think somebody just said work in progress. That's exactly what this is. And I think we just need to emphasize, given the time constraints, this is a work in progress, and we continue to make efforts to finalize the recommendations.
So I'm wondering if I consider Judge Harmon's, I wonder if we should take, kind of split this motion up a little bit. First of all, I want to consider Judge Harmon's motion to include two judicial counsel staff in the heading and on line 5. This document provides guidelines to judicial counsel staff for appropriate expenditure of the allocations. If I take that as her motion, and I believe Judge Johnson seconded it, can I take that separately?
Yes.
Yes.
Sure. Any further discussion on that? All in favor, say aye.
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 Are there any opposed? All right. And then the next, it seems to me that the next group of amendments had to do with inserting the language related to general funds that was used to support the trial courts, and that appears on in Section 2 on page 11 of our materials on line 30.
Yep.
I'm skipping over Section 4.0.
Yes.
And it appears on page 17 of our materials in Section 6.3 at line 194.
Yes.
And in Section 7.1 on page 204.
Line
yep.
204.
Yep.
And... on page 18 of our materials, on page on section 7.2, line 209.
Right.
Yeah.
So is there any further discussion on the motion to include that language in those sections? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? That passes. And then the last set of suggested amendments is to replace reference to the Advisory Committee on Financial Accountability and Efficiency with reference to the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee. And that appears on, let me find them, page 11 of our materials under Section 2.0 lines. Well, it would be all-encompassing because Judge Kuhl motioned it, 32 through 36, as Judge Kuhl motioned. It would also appear on page 17 of our materials under Section 6.3, line 196 and 197. It would appear on page 18 of our materials under section 7.2 at lines 207 and 208. And as Judge Johnson pointed out, it would necessitate amendment to the last line of the document, line 221 and 222, with a period after judicial counsel. I don't think it appears anywhere else. Is there any discussion on that before we vote?
Judge, this is Jake. I'm just going to make a statement that I'm concerned about how this gets reconciled in the event that the rule change goes forward. That's just my only concern.
So I will call the question. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed?
I oppose. This is Alan.
This is Jake. David. I do too.
No, David.
All right. The motion carries. Sherry, did you want to go back and talk about Section 4.0 allocations?
It seems that when the Revenue and Expenditure Committee and or the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee is looking at the proposed allocations from the IMF and Trial Court Trust Fund, it should include for those programs and projects the general fund monies that will also be used to support those programs and projects. And so I'm not sure how best to word it because the section is entitled allocations, and Zlatko indicated that the general fund, those are, I guess, proposed expenditures against their general fund allocation. So I'm not sure how best to word that.
Let me ask Zlatko or Lucy if you have a suggestion on how to word it in a manner that will get us where we want to get, which would be consistent with the other amendments.
Well, what is the objective? To have the allocations be made, recommendations be made by the Budget Advisory Committee to the Council of the general fund appropriation of the Council budget? I mean, what is it that you're trying to achieve? Do you want that to go to the Council, that these amounts are to be identified as well?
Yes, so that when the trial court, I think the concerns, Zlatko, and after spending a couple of years with the Revenue and Expenditure Committee, I think the concern is that until you know the entire project cost, it's hard to know when you're either, especially when you're reducing spending, what that does. Or, and the example that I'll raise again was in the audit services to find out that half of it was funded from general funds and half of it was from IMF funds. And when the question was asked why, it was just moved at one point. And so I think to know what the program costs are and to have the Judicial Council know that the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee understands the full cost, supports the full cost, and recommends that they continue at the level that's being proposed, and not just the IMF and Trial Court Trust Fund, but general funds that are to assist in those programs as well.
Then use those words you just said, then general fund associated to assist those programs, allocations related to general fund that assist the programs that are allocated from the IMF and the TCTF. You're trying to create a nexus between the general fund and the programs that the IMF and the TCTF
support.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that the language that she did suggest? Allocations from the general fund that is used to support trial court programs and projects from the IMF and TCTF?
It was a long time ago.
I did recommend that. I think the concern was is that they're really not allocations because it's not a general fund allocation to support the trial court. It is an expenditure of an allocation to the Judicial Council staff.
I was explaining that, yeah, process currently is not an allocation. Appropriations are made to the Supreme Court, Court of Appeal, the Judicial Council, and Habeas Corpus Resource Center from the same budget appropriation
their sub-programs, and so there's not a judicial council allocation by individual project and office. I was just stating what is current. All I was saying was what was currently done, not suggesting that anything language is good or bad about what was said.
So we could still insert shall recommend. Well, it could be an allocation. I don't know. Recommend allocations from the general fund that will support the trial courts, and it's not really an allocation, though. That's the trial court budget advisory committee shall recommend. Well, allocations from the IMF and trial court trust fund, as well as related expenditures or related proposed expenditures from the general fund that are used to support the trial court to the judicial council. Does that sound right? Because they are allocations from the IMF and trial court trust fund, and they would be proposed expenditures from the general fund to support the trial court.
Are you asking me?
Yes.
I'm asking anybody who's still awake.
And you're a good target, Sacco.
Sure. No, I mean, that's the description. You're saying you want to create a nexus between the IMF, the TCTF programs, and what general fund is used for them.
Okay. So it would be allocations from the IMF and trial court trust fund and general fund.
And proposed expenditures.
And proposed, expenditures from the general fund to support the trial court to the judicial council. And to make it read it better, it should, the trial court budget advisory committee shall recommend to the judicial council allocations from the IMF and trial court trust fund and proposed expenditures that support, I think it might read better.
And proposed expenditures from the general fund.
That
support the trial courts.
Right.
That support trial court. Do we need to be clear that it's supporting a trial court program or project?
Yeah. And then it would be once the allocations and proposed expenditures have been approved, each JCC office managing a program or project will be notified.
So should the heading be changed to say allocations and expenditures?
It seems like it might be better.
So if the heading were changed to allocations and expenditures or proposed expenditures, which one?
I think it would have to be allocations and proposed expenditures.
Yeah, I think so too.
And then it would read on
aren't
an annual
basis. Proposed allocations.
Yeah,
I
was just thinking that. I think Alan's
right.
When
in the year are we doing this? If this is before the fiscal year starts.
Yeah, I don't think we need proposed.
Okay, and expenditures. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Because we're recommending allocations and proposing expenditures.
Yeah, that's good.
So it would read on an annual and as needed basis, the TCBAC shall recommend to the Judicial Council allocations from the IMF and TCTF and proposed expenditures from the general fund that support a trial court project or program.
Yes.
That sounds good.
Yep, that does sound good.
And then once
amazing.
The allocation and expenditures, right? You'd have to add that too.
Yes, and expenditures have been approved by the council.
And this would be for the 16-17 fiscal year.
Right.
Since we've already made our 15-16 allocation recommendations.
Right.
Okay.
And so then it says each JCC office managing a program or project will be notified of their allocation for expenditure?
Proposed, yeah.
It'll just be an expenditure by that.
Yeah.
Is there anything further on that? Any discussion on that? And so, Sherry, are you making that motion?
Yes, I will happily make that motion.
This is Kim Turner. I will second.
Is there any further discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. So let me ask if there's any other suggested amendments to the draft guidelines other than what we have discussed.
At this point?
Yes.
No, but we did put the placeholder in those two footnotes under the table that we're going to continue to look at the definitions of local assistance and state operations, and we got to keep working.
That's already there, though, right?
Yeah, it is.
Right.
I mean, we're not done.
Judge Earl?
Yes.
Chang, did you, the group committee want to change the review from every odd year to every year?
Yes. I think we already approved that.
I don't think that was included in motion number 3. So I think that was not part of the motion. It was just a change of language from A&E to Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee.
Oh, okay. All right.
I think it was part of the motion. I think we went through the striking of the word odd.
Yeah, Judge Kuhl did include that in the original motion. It just didn't get reiterated, I think.
So should we include that as part of motion 3 then?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
So, Stephen or Zlatko, do you think there's any need to take an overall vote on the draft amendments as amended, draft guidelines as amended?
For the purposes of moving into the council?
Yes.
I don't think,
but do you think we're there?
By amending them, you're endorsing them.
Okay.
With the changes is how we would take it, unless other folks think otherwise. But I think the reason that you made amendments is because you want to move them forward to the council.
Yeah. No, I think we're good. I would just, if I could have Zlatko, your folks go about laying out the amendments and sending those to Judge Slough and myself and Sherry just to review before the final documents get submitted to ENP for the agenda?
Of course, Sherry. We always share it with you, as the draft.
Okay.
So.
Right.
Judge Gerald, don't we need a motion to send it to the council as amended? This is Carolyn Kuhl.
That's what I just asked. Is that your motion?
Yes. I will move the guidelines as amended.
John Conklin, second.
Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
All right. Then the motion carries, and the amended guidelines will be presented to the council at the June meeting. Sherry, did you have anything else?
No, I think that we have covered it.
Beat this to death?
I think we have, and I look forward to working on this next year. So, Alan, sharpen your pencil because it sounds like you have some ideas.
Is Judge Slough on the line, or is she on the plane? She's had to drop off. Anybody else had any comments before we adjourn? Zlatko, do you need anything else from us?
Nope.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for your attention to this. We do appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you.